They halted, looking towards the blunt cape of Bray Head that lay on the water like the snout of a sleeping whale. Stephen freed his arm quietly. "Do you wish me to tell you?" he asked. "Yes, what is it?" Buck Mulligan answered. "I don't remember anything." He looked in Stephen's face as he spoke. A light wind passed his brow, fanning softly his fair, uncombed hair and stirring silver points of anxiety in his eyes. Stephen, depressed by his own voice, said, "Do you remember the first day I went to your house after my mother's death?" Buck Mulligan frowned quickly and said, "What? Where? I can't remember anything. I remember only ideas and sensations. Why? What happened in the name of God?" "You were making tea," Stephen said, "and I went across the landing to get more hot water. Your mother and some visitor came out of the drawing room. She asked you who was in your room." "Yes," Buck Mulligan said. "What did I say? I forget."
"You said," Stephen answered, "Oh, it's only Daedalus, whose mother is beastly dead."
A flush, which made him seem younger and more engaging, rose to Buck Mulligan's cheek. "Did I say that?" he asked. "Well, what harm is that?" He shook his constraint from him, nervously. "And what is death?" he asked. "Your mother's, or yours, or my own? You saw only your mother die. I see them pop up every day in the matter and Richmond and cut up into tripes in the dissecting room. It's a beastly thing and nothing else. It simply doesn't matter. You wouldn't kneel down to pray for your mother on her deathbed when she asked you. Why? Because you have the cursed Jesuit strain in you, only it's injected the wrong way. To me, it's all a mockery and beastly. Her cerebral lobes are not functioning. She calls the doctor Sir Peter Teasel and picks buttercups off the quilt. Humor her till it's over. You crossed her last wish in death, and yet you sulk with me because I don't whinge like some hired mute from Lalouette's. Absurd! I suppose I did say it. I didn't mean to offend the memory of your mother."
He had spoken himself into boldness.
Stephen, shielding the gaping wounds which the words had left in his heart, said very coldly, "I'm not thinking of the offence to my mother."
"Of what, then?"
Buck Mulligan asked.
"Of the offence to me," Stephen answered.
Buck Mulligan swung round on his heel. "Oh, an impossible person!" he exclaimed. He walked off quickly round the parapet. Stephen stood at his post, gazing over the calm sea towards the headland. Sea and headland now grew dim. Pulses were beating in his eyes, veiling their sight, and he felt the fever of his cheeks. A voice within the tower called loudly,
"Are you up there, Mulligan? I'm coming,"
Buck Mulligan answered. He turned toward Stephen and said, "Look at the sea. What does it care about offences? Chuck Loyola Kinch and come on down. The Sassenach wants his morning rashers." His head halted again for a moment at the top of the staircase, level with the roof.
"Don't mope over it all day," he said. "I'm inconsequent. Give up the moody brooding."
His head vanished, but the drone of his descending voice boomed out of the stairhead.
"And no more turn aside and brood upon love's bitter mystery, for Fergus rules the brazen cards."
Wood shadows floated silently by through the morning peace from the stairhead seaward, where he gazed. Inshore and farther out, the mirror of water whitened, spurned by light-shod hurrying feet. White breast of the dim sea, the twining stresses two by two, a hand plucking the harp strings, merging their twining chords, wave-white wedded words shimmering on the dim tide. A cloud began to cover the sun slowly, shadowing the bay in deeper green. It lay behind him, a bowl of bitter waters. Fergus's song. I sang it alone in the house, holding down the long dark chords. Her door was open. She wanted to hear my music. Silent with awe and pity, I went to her bedside. She was crying in her wretched bed.
"For those words, Stephen, love's bitter mystery."
"Where now?" "Her secrets, old feather fans, tasseled dance cards powdered with musk, a gaud of amber beads in her locked drawer. A birdcage hung in the sunny window of her house when she was a girl. She heard old Roy sing in the pantomime of Turco the Terrible and laughed with others when he sang,
I am the boy that can enjoy invisibility.
Phantasmal mirth, folded away, musk-perfumed,
and no more turn aside and brood, folded away in the memory of nature with her toys. Memories beset his brooding brain. Her glass of water from the kitchen tap when she'd approached the sacrament. A cored apple filled with brown sugar roasting for her at the hob on a dark autumn evening. Her shapely fingernails reddened by the blood of squashed lice from the children's shirts. In a dream, silently, she had come to him. Her wasted body within its loose grave clothes giving off an odor of wax and rosewood. Her breath bent over him with mute, secret words, a faint odor of wetted ashes. Her glazing eyes, staring out of death to shake and bend my soul on me alone, the ghost candle to light her agony, ghostly light on the tortured face, her hoarse, loud breath rattling in horror while all prayed on their knees, her eyes on me, to strike me down. Liliata, rutilantium te confessorum turma circumdet. Jubilantium te virginum chorus excipiat.
Ghoul, chewer of corpses. No, mother, let me be and let me live! Kinch, ahoy!
Buck Mulligan's voice sang from within the tower. It came nearer, up the staircase, calling again. Stephen, still trembling at his soul's cry, heard warm, running sunlight, and in the air behind him, friendly words.
Daedalus! Come down like a good mosey. Breakfast is ready. Haynes is apologizing for waking us last night. It's all right.
I'm coming,
Stephen said, turning.
Do, for Jesus' sake, Buck Mulligan said. For my sake and for all our sakes.
His head disappeared and reappeared. I told him your symbol of Irish art. He says it's very clever. Touch him for a quid, will you? A guinea, I mean.
I get paid this morning, Stephen said.
The school kip,
Buck Mulligan said. How much? 4 quid?
Lend us one.
If you want it, Stephen said.
4 shining sovereigns, Buck Mulligan cried with delight. We'll have a glorious drunk to astonish the Druidy Druids. 4 omnipotent sovereigns.
He flung up his hands and tramped down the stone stairs, singing out of tune with a Cockney accent.
Oh, won't we have a merry time, drinking whiskey, beer and wine, on Coronation Day. Oh, won't we have a merry time on Coronation Day.